Good morning. Yes. Jy het ons na vrede en te topkom van Niels Marius en God sien huis. In die lewe himmelse voorraha van Swara en Shaina Marie nie jeeft. When we denken dat we zijn te een mad jaan voor en mine wern weis dat we zaaskroot kalt. Er kan zijn dat het een schijne winter. Het wordt veel wichtiger en schijner is dat God zijn genoeg en live met ons is. Dat hij heeft den waag opgemerkt dat wie zijn juist kan gaan in ons leven. En wann sie jetzt in uns leben ist und wann wir nachfolgen, dann schauen wir sie in Frieden an. Peace. Gleich haben wir diese Vers in 1. Petrus Kapitel 1, Vers 3 und 4 und 5. Ich wollte auf Englisch lesen, but it says, Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Dat zegt hier dat Jesus Christus heeft ons met open arms zijn leven gegeven voor ons. En hij heeft ons een hoop gegeven wat levend is. Een hoop is wat we niet willen willen missen. Dat zegt dat hij ons woorden an inheritance, an aufgut geben, what for immer what stone, that I will live in, has I reserved in heaven for you. Dit jaf mine Freude dort. So wenn ich ein Beispiel würde nehmen, wenn ich von Ihnen so was in einem Motel will haben, eine Stoff zum Schlopen, dann mag ich die Hand von ihnen sein, okay, ich will eine Stoffhand von der Sovis. Und hier sagt er dort, wenn wir wollen und porten und das ewige Leben haben mit Jesus Christus, dann machen wir an einem Glauben. Believe. Dann sagt er, en dan wil ik niet een stof geven, een steed, net eeuwig leven wat reserved zijn. Wat een stoon voor je. Dat is dat leven je hoop in wat we hebben. En dat geeft me een vrede dat wanneer ik gestorven word, dat is een steed rijd, reserved, in heaven for you. Voor mij en voor die en al die wat aan Jezus geloven doen. Zo wel we aanvangen met een gebed van dit morgen. Himmelse Vader, we danken die voor wat die voor ons gedaan heeft. Dat Jezus Christus heeft zijn leven gegeven voor ons. Dat hij heeft alles uitgeschat. Zijn bloed, zijn charpa, op dat kruis, op Golgotha. Dat hij heeft The power of the grave could not keep him there. But he is opgestaan. En vandaar dat we deze levende hoop in hand door Jezus Christus. Deze hoop in dat en de vrede dat wanneer we sterven doen aan Jezus Christus, dan hebben we een steed. Hij heeft dat recht gemaakt voor ons. O, ik bid dat we wouldn't ons forced home on this hope name. is hoping what Jesus Christ has done saved haft. And so I bade for din zain for Neil Samarius that din word kun in ons leven ne vrede geven, ne vrede, and that we wouldn kraft han to ons leven leven. And dit bade when Jesus sin nomen. Amen. You will all find me and poor later.
Auch ihr lobt der andere Garten, was aus hat nach 7 Tagen dich.
Mit Angst und Schmerzen. 409.
409. Sie am Clark mit Angst und Schmerzen. Gottes Wert erschaut, die
Nelson Morris, when time of Zan, the fear of God, the Furcht von Gott. Nid essen recover sein and breitet time, but wann wenig in uns leben the fear of God han. What have we done? When God nicht important is oder wichtig ist uns, dann haben wir eine andere Ursache in uns Leben. Und dann tun wir was. Krak wat wie wollen doen. In 5. Mose, oder Deuteronomy, Kapitel 13, Vers 5, hier jeuft Gott de Tinger Israel ne Resab. Hij sagt in dieser Vers hier, ye shall walk after the Lord your God and fear him and keep his commandments and obey his voice. And ye shall serve him and cleave unto him. Dit is een resap wat God jeuf na zine tinga. Ye zoun goon, or ye leven, after God, after the Lord your God. So dat eerste denk wat ze moesten betrachten en leven is dat, wer is God? Oder wofür Kraft hat Gott? Und wir würden schon zurückgehen in die ersten zwei Cain und Abel in Genesis. Einer sagt, ich will Gott bringen für ein Opfer, was Gott will haben. Und die andere sagt, ich will Gott bringen von was mein Land ist. So Abel sagt, ich will Gott bringen ein Sacrifice, ein Lamm, was muss Blut schäden, sein Blut geben für das Offering. Und das ist, was Gott will haben. Und Cain sagt, no, ich will bringen was Krak wat mi janka. En daar funk de kuwe zijn rebellion on, oder jen stond jen God on. Dat funk niet door, dat funk in a Garden of Eden on, but en het zou zijn dat de strife wordt zo groot. Dat Cain mjuk zijn broeder doet. En hij zei, en God vroeg hem, zo, hij die broeder. En dan zei hij, wat is dat te mij? En ik dacht bloos, zo'n attitude heb ik veel meer. Want God wat zegt, dan zei hij, have to do with me. When we need the fear of God. And so we might not understand who is God. Is he ever us? Is he ever this world? Kon hij doen wat hij zegt, hij wat doen? Geloof je dat? And it is a farsighted, and ye shall walk after the Lord your God and fear him. Hav ye zo'n grote respect voor God? Dat we wouldn't doen wat hij zegt? En zo wanneer we dan zegt het hier weer, and keep his commandments. Zo hij heeft de geboden. In het Oude Testament, we weten nog weer een veel dingen wat ze moesten doen en voor de zinnen, de sacrifices. En dan heeft hij de tien geboden, de Ten Commandments. Dan zegt het, and keep his commandments. De eerste wordt zijn dat de wordt zijn onder God, voor God zijn. Dat would mean that they wouldn't zone for God, that they wouldn't train under God. They would fear God with that deep respect and awe. That's why they will have. And obey his voice, cited it. And ye shall serve him and cleave unto him. And that's what God will have from us. He schreift it and fafte Mosey here long trig. But I believe it would not stone for us from there. That steht noch for us from there. Dort unser Furcht vor Gott wird so groß sein, dass wir sein. Ja, ik wil zijn geboten houden. Ik wil zijn stem horen. En ik wil hem dienen. En aan hem vasthouden. Cleave unto him. En in het Oude Testament shall we lezen van al de mannen. Wat God hearken deiden. Ze hielden zijn geboten. Ze hearken zijn stem. En ze deiden wat God zeed. In Psalm 33, vers 8. Psalm 33, vers 8. Let all the earth fear the Lord, and let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of him. Dat zei, laat de eed, de furcht van God zijn, de fear of God. Let the earth fear the Lord. En laat al die wat in de eed zijn, staan in awe of God. Wat hij kan doen. En ik dacht aan Noah. Noah wie een predja. But Noah had the fear of God. And God said to him, ik wil hebben dat je zult een grote schep bouwen. Hij heeft Noah kracht de moed, wat van houdt. En Noah had kunnen zeggen, no, dit is veel te clean voor wat hier zal passeren. Ik wil dat mijn weg doen. Is dat wat Noah deed? No. Hij hoort God zijn stem. En hij vond aan te buien. And the tit wat hei de chap bühn deid, predjet, han heim Gott sin Wort, an hei vertal de Menschen von Gott sin Wort. And the Menschen horchten nich, de ich bespott Adam. Seid not hei wie fragt, but Noah had the fear of God. And it's a challenge for us. It's an Beispiel, you know, would we so feel fear of God, hon? The psalmist, he said, let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of him. Ich wundere eins mal, was dachten die Menschen den Tag, wo es anfängt zu reden? Noah, wir und seine Familie waren safe in der Trap. Und es fängt an zu reden und es wurde höher und höher. Ich glaube, sie probably sagen, wir haben so hart. Wir haben so das serious name, was Noah und Zion deit. But the day we tow, the we tow load. And what if we are Zion, we sind nicht perfect, we merken all our mistakes. But when we were an important name from it, we live in this one mistake that we nicht can merken. Not as on Jesus Christus glauben. What how you don't have funds. Don't want we serious name. Well, Psalm 34, correct it next to Kapitel. The erste sieben Versen. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. Ich werde den Herrn, mein Herr Jesus, preisen mit mein Mühl. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. O magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord, and he heard me, and he delivered me from all my fears. They looked unto him and were lightened, and their faces were not ashamed. The poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. The angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him and delivereth them. So there's a last of farsh. It's like the angel von Gott, der sind around dem Mensch, was Gott. They are around the person that fears God. They sind around den Mensch, was forcht han for God. And dann sagt er, and delivered them. They were uns beschützen. They were uns rittere und von unseren Troubles. Kriegst es Noah, hei harkne Gott, hei mögt den Schab, and Gott brugt den Schab, to save Noah and his family. In het Engelse wil ik nog een beetje weergaan wat de fear of God voor ons doen kan, but when we de furcht van God hebben, dan zal we wel ons tem zijn stem horen. En de dingen doen wat te ons vielleicht niet sens maken. De dingen doen wat we bloß moeten zijn, dit doen we en geloven. En ons geloven dat we wel God no feuren. Zo hebben we even gaan naar de tweede poort. Je hebt je leen, je hebt je even op knijs gaan, op stel het gebed. when you can, and so bet mit me nu and still at your bed. Dit bid wie in Jesus' name. Amen.
Please take your blue books and turn to page number 213. I know whom I have believed. 213. Can we stand, please?
For that wonderful song. We don't know many things, how the Spirit moves, how that when we call upon God that, or Jesus, we get saved. Many things we don't fully understand. But the phrase of that song says, but we know whom we have believed. We know. That's a wonderful song. You know, how does the Spirit move and convict and teach? And it's a mystery. But when we experience and fear God, He moves. He moves in our lives. And that is wonderful. And so when we learn to fear Him, we need to learn this. Because it becomes a struggle for us, because we want to do our own will, and yet we want to fear God. In my opening scripture in 1 Peter 1, it says in verse 5, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation. We are kept by the power of God. His power is today His Spirit in us. His power is that we place our faith, our trust, everything in God. And just realizing, you know what, He can I think in Matthew it says that He has the power to destroy both the body and the soul in hell. We got to realize this is God. He has the power to do that. That is a tremendous power. Actually, that power is so tremendous that it is sort of a mystery to us, because we cannot fully understand it. But by faith, we fear God. See, Noah, like I mentioned, was driven to do the work that God called him to do out of the fear of God. It drove him to obey Him. And that is my challenge for us today, is that we would increase the fear of God in ourselves. Actually, Jesus, when He talked to His disciples, He talked about faith. And the disciples said, increase our faith. And today, I'll challenge us both to increase our faith, but also to increase our fear of God. But we need to understand that God is over us. God is over everything. Because He created everything. And I like to use David as an example many times, and I read his Psalms. I want to turn to Psalm 145. Psalm 145, and I'll read 17 to 21. The Lord is righteous in all His ways, and holy in all His works. The Lord is nigh unto all them that call upon Him, and to all that call upon Him in truth. He will fulfill the desire of them that fear Him. He will also hear their cry and will save them. The Lord preserveth all them that love Him, but all the wicked will He destroy. My mouth shall speak the praise of the Lord, and let all flesh bless His holy name forever and ever. This writer explains that, which is David, explains that the Lord is righteous in all His doings. He does not make mistakes. God does not make mistakes. And all His works are holy. And so that when we think of God destroying all the people in the flood, we would say, well, how does that make his works holy? It makes his works holy because he looked at man at that time and he says, their thinking, their imagination is only evil all the time, continually. There's no good in what they're thinking or doing. And so God was sorry that he had made man. And he said, I will destroy. And he did. But there was one man who had the fear of God. He says, I will fear God. I will do what he tells me to do. And he did. Are we willing to be that man, woman, today that fears God? That we can say that, you know what, God can wipe out everything when he decides to do that. But we have the promise of God. He says, after the flood, never again will I destroy man like I did. And he made a promise. He made a rainbow. It stands as a sign today, a promise. But then he made a way to save man, to redeem man, which came through his son, Jesus Christ. And so when we think of putting the fear of God in us, in Proverbs 1, verse 7, we're reminded, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. So when we begin to fear God, we begin to see him as God is powerful, almighty. We begin to see that, we begin to have knowledge. Then if we go to chapter 9, verse 10, it says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the holy is understanding. See, when we begin to fear God, we begin to see his perspective, his ways. And we say, even though his ways don't make sense, but when I do what he says I do, it makes sense in the end. I always think of the verse, I think it's Isaiah 55, he says, my ways are not your ways, neither are my thoughts your thoughts. As far as the heaven is above the earth, so far are my thoughts and my ways above your ways. So our understanding of God, you know, is very limited. But we can still fear him. In Proverbs 16, verse 6, he says, by mercy and truth, iniquity is purged, and by the fear of the Lord, men depart from evil. And I love this verse, because when we have the real fear of God, we depart from evil. Because then evil, when we have the true fear of God, evil is exposed. It's brought to light. You know what? If we turn away from evil ways because we have the fear of God, that means that now we are doing this for a purpose. We're turning from our evil ways because we have a purpose. Because we want to serve a living God. Then if we turn to Proverbs 14, back a little bit, verse 26, it says, the fear of the Lord is strong confidence, and his children shall have a place of refuge. The fear of the Lord is the fountain of life, to depart from the snares of death. Oh, I see so many people today, they don't have any confidence. Well, I hope this might happen, or that could happen. You know, we don't have a strong confidence. It says the fear of the Lord is strong confidence. The song that we just sung in the middle, it says, but I know whom I have believed. Many things don't make sense to me, but I know who I'm going to believe. Then that verse 20, that same verse, 26, and his children shall have a place of refuge. A place to go, and they feel safe. They feel secure. And they're confident about that. And then it says, the fear of the Lord is a fountain of life, to depart from the snares of death. You know, everything about God is life. Everything about God's Son is life. But on the other side, Satan's side, everything about that is death. And I think we all want to be on the living side, the side that has life. In Proverbs 19:23, I love Proverbs because they're little short verses that give us lots of wisdom. He says in Proverbs 19:23, the fear of the Lord tendeth to life, and he that hath it shall abide satisfied, he shall not be visited with evil. Fear the Lord tendeth to life. We don't tend to death. We want to focus on life. This life, everlasting life. But the real life in God, in living in the fear of God. I want to turn to the book of Matthew, chapter 8. And so when we think of life, we know that in this life on earth, there are storms. Matthew 8, and I'm going to start at verse 18. And so when we think of the fear of God, and God will say, and Jesus will say, follow me. That's what he did on earth when he was here with his disciples. He said, follow me. Verse 18, he starts off and he says, now when Jesus saw the great multitudes about him, he gave commandment to depart unto the other side. Just picture this, picture a great multitude. Jesus just had done a miracle, and so the people crowded around him. They wanted more of him. They knew that if they could touch him, good chance he'd be healed. They knew that maybe if they could speak to him, he would be healed. And Jesus was up against the water. And he gave commandment, let's depart unto the water. It says, and a certain scribe came and said unto him, Master, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest. A scribe. He says, Master or teacher, I'll follow you wherever you go. Doesn't that sound familiar? Sometimes we get into a rough spot, a challenging spot in life, and in our mind we say, oh God, if you will do this for me, I will follow you wherever you want me to go. You ever heard that? Then we get better. What happens to that thought? It disappears. I see that many times. Verse 20, and Jesus said unto him, foxes have holes, the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. Jesus said, you know what? If you want to follow me, the things in this life may not be certain. You can't have your security in this life or in possessions. He says, even the foxes have holes and birds have their nests. He says, but the Son of Man doesn't even have a place to lay his head. And another of his disciples said unto him, Lord, suffer me or allow me first to go and bury my father. And Jesus said unto him, follow me and let the dead bury their dead. There's many excuses that we have in life. When Jesus says, follow me, we say, oh, but I need to go and take care of some things first. Think about when Jesus came to the waters and Peter and John were there. I think it's Peter and John. He said, follow me. It says, and straightway they dropped their nets and followed him. So we're still in this picture where Jesus is on a boat. Verse 23, and it says, and when he was entered into a ship, his disciples followed him. His disciples followed him. And behold, there arose a great tempest in the sea, insomuch that the ship was covered with the waves, but he was asleep. Who was asleep? Jesus. And his disciples came to him and awoke him, saying, Lord, save us, we perish. Oh, I love this illustration because, you know, in our life, there are storms. And we see that in our life, when the storms come, many people get fearful and anxious and we worry. We worry. If this doesn't happen, then that could happen, and if that happens, and we go on and on. We presume bad things. It's the kind of minds we have. We get anxious. Or if it goes this way, you know, then this and this could happen, and we presume it. And instead of saying, Lord, I will follow you. I will find my refuge, my security in you. Here's an important lesson in verse 25, and his disciples came to him. Are we willing to come to Jesus? Are we willing to come to Jesus? If we come to him, I don't think we'll find him sleeping. He's now glorified. He doesn't need sleep. But the disciple says, Lord, save us, we perish. They recognize that Jesus had the power to save them. And Jesus wakes up and he asks them a question. He says, why are ye fearful? Why are you afraid? He says, O ye of little faith. I'm just wondering, has Jesus ever asked you why you're afraid? What was your answer to him? What do you think the disciples said to him? Oh, we're afraid that we're going to drown. We're going to perish. We're going to sink this ship and perish. It says Jesus arose and he rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. You know what, you and I, when we come to Jesus, and I could tell you stories all day long about my life, how we can come to him, and if we're willing to allow him to calm the storm, just to take that anxiety, the fear, maybe the doubt we have, and let him speak to us. Let him speak peace to us. And he will calm the storms in our life. It says, but the men marveled, saying, what manner of man is this, that even the winds and the sea obey him? My prayer is for you today, for all of us. Storms are going to come. Storms in our life will come. We can't avoid them. But we can determine how we are going to walk through them. That's what we can determine. Because if we come to Jesus and we allow him to be our refuge, the storms will be insignificant, because we fear God, we fear Jesus so much, and we love him so much that he will say, storm, be calm. I want to challenge you, challenge us all today, that we increase the fear of God in us, in our heart, in our soul, that he can calm all the storms that are coming our way. It doesn't matter how crazy the world gets. It doesn't matter if there's war. David inched Saul's sword because he feared God. And he's able to flee from his death. We too, when the fear of God is real in us, the storms of life will be rather insignificant. So I want to just encourage you. I want to just go to God's word. Obey his voice. Let him speak to you. So let us close in prayer. Father in heaven, we just thank you again for this opportunity to look into your word, to know that you are a God that loves us, that you are a God that wants to calm the storms in our lives. Oh, but you want us to fear you. to respect and stand in awe of what you can do. So Heavenly Father, just pray for this congregation. Give them peace. Give them that desire to call upon you in the storms of life. So just bless them with peace. We pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. Once again, I invite you to kneel with me in silent prayer at this time. Heavenly Father, just hear our prayers. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Take the blue book and turn to number 367, The Church in the Wildwood.
Church leadership give you the opportunity to sign a petition concerning the books made available to children in our South Central Library. There's a form in the foyer that says, Sign here to say no to sexually explicit books being made available to children and youth at our South Central Regional Libraries. And this form is in the back foyer, and today is the last chance to sign it here in church. If you are considering baptism, we, the local ministerial, would like to strongly encourage you to attend baptism classes starting February 7th at 7:30. Be approximately 9 classes held in the prayer room. And for more information, you can contact either myself or Deacon Pete Fraze. Thank you.
Thank you for those announcements, Jake. So I want to thank you all for coming this morning. It's a great honor and privilege that we have to gather in God's house. It's a great honor to have God's written word with us. And so I want to thank you again for coming. May we close with the benediction we find in Hebrews 13. Now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work to do his will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. So may you depart in the peace of God.